WCCO, WCCO, from 24 to 54, a symbol of the best in radio. WCCO, WCCO, for 30 years the neighbor to the great Northwest.
Three above right now. You got to wear those long winter gattas tomorrow, fella. Of course, I wear them year-round. They keep me cool in the summer, and they keep me warm in the winter. Did you belch on the air there, Backlash? Oh, for goodness sakes. I would never do something like that. Belch, break wind, please. Well, somebody did. Was it you, Mundane?
Nah.
Certainly it wasn't you, Ma.
No.
Well, maybe it was Mike Lynch then, or Dino, or somebody. Didn't you hear a belch on the radio? All right, let's talk Panakukin then.
Wasted days and wasted nights.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness, this is the Cat and Mess on WCCO.
Yes, sir.
My name's Don Shelby. I'm the sidekick to the great and legendary Steve Cannon back after 7 years, 26 years on the air.
I got a hold of Morgan one day.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was over the Lincoln Wreck playing a little pool, a little eight ball.
For money?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
And he's going to walk over here. He's not far. It's over on Hennepin Avenue. And he said he's really excited about seeing you because of, I don't think you've ever met him in person.
I've never met him in person.
But he's a fan of yours. You know, he's watched you on television all these years.
Did he know my grandfather?
That's what he says. He said your grandfather and he go way back. And I don't know about that. What we're talking about is Don, according to Morgan Mundane, Don's great-grandfather, or grandfather.
Right.
Developed the bus line. Actually, it was a streetcar line to begin with. And it's called the Selby Lake Bus Line, which runs from Minneapolis to St. Paul. Over the bridge.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Into St. Paul from East Lake Street.
So you got a hold of him.
Yep. And he'll be here any moment.
You
now.
Think we could get him to make predictions on some games or anything?
I think so. I will just ask him and he'll do it, sure. And we'll ask him about the Twins, what he thinks they're going to do. And you can ask him too, you know, if you like.
I'd love to. I'd love to meet him. Because yeah. I do have to tell him a story about how he had made me a little angry the way he treated you one day on the air.
Don't bring it up. I'll tell you why. He will, he'll just clam up then.
Really?
Yeah. If he gets offended, he just shuts up and he won't say anything.
Well, I'll try not to offend him, but he's got to know that you were doing a Grain Belt beer advertisement.
Yes.
And you said that from time to time, you and Nanook in the evening would like to, after dinner, have two or three of these Grain Belts.
Yeah.
He interrupted you and said, is that two or three a night? And you said, yes. And then he said, that's like a case a week. And you said, well, I don't count them like that. And he said, I think you have a problem.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. He confronted you. He tried to suggest that you were an alcoholic.
Well, Morgan is a straight shooter when it comes to, you know, he doesn't like wild women.
Yeah.
He's not, he's never drunk anything. He's never smoked. And if he has one thing that he does that... He is not copacetic. He's a betting man. That's it.
That's his only vice.
That's about it. That's all I know.
I was supposed to ask you if you'd been down to Herlihy's Hanging Garden and with all of the cream of wheat you could drink and dancing to Mort Salt albums. Has that happened recently?
No. You talked to somebody who'd been listening to me when I was over there on the Boulevard of Broken Hearts. You know how long that I broadcast in this market? I came here in 1953.
Oh, my God.
But then I was away for a while because I was in California.
Right.
San Francisco and L.A. I never worked a day in L.A. One whole year. I'll tell you that.
A lifetime.
You know, Jim Lang, The Dating Game,
yeah,
et cetera.
Sure.
He's from St. Paul. And I worked with him on Channel 11 back in 1953. Jim, we had... CCO was television. Channel 4 was running news. Channel 5 was running news. From 5 to 6, they had the news block. They had the network, and then they had the local news. So we didn't have a network at Channel 11. So they started these kiddie shows. And Jim Lang was Captain 11. And the engineers rigged up old pinball machines and everything. And he looked like a bus driver. That was his, but he was a Captain 11 who could take you back in time. And we ran these old films that the station bought, Don Winslow and the Navy. You're too young to remember these. And they were just, you know, they'd end on a moment when things were turn apart. And you had to wait till the next Saturday. Cliffhangers.
Yeah.
And he ran those, but he'd start, they'd dolly in real tight, and the machine was lighting up and everything. And then we were back in time in the 1930s, right? And then Merle Edwards, who was a disc jockey at that time at WMI and Radio All Night, he came on and did the weather with a squirrel who was a puppet. Now, mind you, that I came on and we run these old, I was Wrangler Steve, you know, and we ran these old cowboy movies. We take a Tom Mix movie, which goes way back to the 30s.
Sure.
They bought these cheap old movies and we cut them up. They weren't serials. And we just end them. And then, I did a half hour every night. So the ratings came out. We were number one.
Against the news.
Against the news, you know. I'll never forget that. It was incredible.
Were you up against Cedric at that time, or had Dave started doing the news at 4?
No, Dave hadn't started it. Dave Moore had not started it. Dave Moore, 1955.
Yeah.
I was doing a two-man show, morning show, WLOL, 1330 on the dial. That's now a Catholic station, all Catholic, a religious station. But it was a pretty good station in those days. And Don Kelly and I did a morning show. And then Todd Storrs came into this market. I can't go into all his history, but he revolutionized it. He came up from Omaha. He bought WDGY. He took all the commercials off, and all they did was give away money. They had a treasure hunt that drove everybody here. CCO hired Big Bill Cash. That was the name of this fellow, and I can't think of his name, a heck of a personality. Bob White.
Bob White.
They brought him in to fight WDGY, and he gave money away, $830, like every hour. KSTP.
Well, that's a fortune back then.
They also were giving, everybody in the market was giving away money.
Well, they had to give $1,500 away.
It was incredible. So anyway, they tried to, DGY came, and Todd Storrs and his people, they called me. They called all the talent that they thought was good talent, and they offered me a job. They offered Kelly a job, my partner, and other people. And they rounded up some great talent to go over to DGY, and they got hot. I turned them down, and I got a raise from Larry Benson. So we needed a partner. I needed a partner. Dave Moore was doing Bowling for Dollars on Channel 4. And I called him up because we were friends. We had just been in a show together. Theater St. Paul.
Sure.
We did Dial In for Murder. He was great. He was the inspector, and I was the cad. I was the villain. In any event, I called him up, and I told him, because he loved radio. He started in radio. I said, I got a deal for you. You're sitting over there doing Bowling for Dollars. Come over here and be my partner. And these guys are paying good money. And I told him what it was. It was more than he was making. He said, I'd love to. If you'd call me a month before this, I would do it. I would tell you a secret if you don't say anything, because we haven't even said anything. I'm the new anchorman. Chick McCune is either going to, I forget, was going to leave, or else he was going to retire.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to be the guy. So I can't do that. That's a true story. And the rest is history for him.
Do you know this part of the story, that the reason that he didn't know until that moment is because WCCO was waiting on word from another person to whom they'd offered the job, who was on the line and had said, yes, he would take the job, but at the very last minute, the network radio called and said, this was a UPI reporter who was pretty good on radio, down in the lower Middle West, and he was going to have this first job in television out of UPI, but CBS radio called and said that they wanted him to work, and so he turned it down, and Dave got the job. The guy who turned it down was Walter Cronkite.
Really?
That's a true story.
Whoa. That is a good story.
Isn't that a good story?
It makes it even better story, doesn't
it? Yeah, so now you can add that to the full story.
4:17 here on the Don Shelby Show. This is Cannon. And here is Morgan Mundane
Let's get him in here and let him sit down here. I'll go check on weather, or on traffic rather, with Jerry Peterson, and we'll get the door open for Morgan.
A Minnesota tradition for 80 years. You told us how WCCO has been a part of your lives.
I wanted to call and say I'm still listening to WCCO.
I'd be outside in the crisp fall air listening to Ray Christensen doing the Gopher football games, being able to listen to the Gophers on CCO during the football season.
Hi, this is Sonia from Orono, and I just wanted to tell you guys that I have been listening to you. A lot of younger people my age turning you guys on. You're part of my day, and I just want to thank you huge for everything that you guys have taught me and all that fun jazz. Thanks a lot.
WCCO has been an important part of my life for over 40 years.
We always listen to WCCO at 6:30 in the morning to tell us whether we had school or not. My dad drove the bus, so we always had to listen to WCCO, and we had some pretty nasty winters up there, so that was a good time. I still listen to the radio station. Thank you very much.
You pronounce words properly. You enunciate very clearly, and above all, there is no swearing. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jenny from the General Store of Minnetonka. We're a family-run business, and we're proud to be celebrating 20 years of providing unique gifts and goods in the Twin Cities area. I would like to congratulate WCCO Radio on 80 years of great broadcasting. Happy birthday, WCCO.
Keep a-doing what you're doing. Keep your radio tuned to WCCO. WCCO.
21 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock. This is Don Shelby, the sidekick to Steve Cannon on the Cannon Mess here, 3 to 5 on WCCO. And
Don, I think Morgan's out there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
I can't believe this.
Come on in, Morgan. Come on in.
I'm here already. Mr. Shelby. It's terrific.
Doesn't he look good, Morg?
Oh, yes. The very... Happy to meet you, to press the flesh here.
Nice to see you. I'm touched that Steve is here, but to see you in person is really, really an honor for me.
Well, just having you here, and I don't have to just talk to him, also makes it nicer for me.
Thanks, Morg.
That's okay, kid. I was just over to Lincoln Rick. They don't have the radio on. I says, turn the radio on. Cannon's on there with Shelby. He said, Cannon who?
Who said that?
The owner of the pool hall, Maurice.
Okay, fine. Don wants you to do some predicting here. Can you do that?
Well, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm getting paid to be on Charlie Boone's show with Denny Long tomorrow morning.
So. I'll pay, Morgan. I'll pay.
No, I wouldn't take no money from you. You're one of my favorites. I've liked you when you were way back on that investigative thing when you were skinny. You remember that?
I do remember that. What? And you were watching me?
Well, Morgan watched you in those days.
I like that. What was the name of that show?
That was the I-Team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you investigated all these mercenaries and other people who were taking advantage of the honest citizen.
Exactly right. I didn't know you watched, and I'm touched you were.
Morgan, I didn't realize you watched that much TV.
I watch TV. I heard you steal my line today, too, when I was coming in, where you said you retired so that you could watch TV all day long. That was my line.
Yeah.
So, what are you up to, Don?
About 6'1". Yeah.
That's not so good.
Because I've been listening to you for a long time, Morgan.
And I'm happy to meet you because I know you changed the name to Shelby because you didn't want to take advantage of, your grandfather's, taking advantage of him and his laurels in starting that Selby Lake railroad line, and then now it's a bus line to St. Paul from Minneapolis.
How did you know my grandfather? Because I suspected, my mother told me that, but my father was a little quiet about this, but that he might have gambled a little bit.
I don't talk about them things on the radio, but just let it be known I know your grandfather.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Morgan.
That's enough for...
Excuse me now, Don, because Cannon wants to, get this show on the road
now
since I'm here.
Spin a little familiar music.
But first of all, we heard something in this. Jimmy, what did you say something? I thought you heard something about it. We're going to play some music or something. Okay. Are you ready, Morg?
Yeah, what is Jimmy Harrison doing in there? He used to screw up your show in the old days, and now he's doing it again.
Oh, Morgan, lighten up.
I can't lighten up.
A little prediction music, if you will.
Okay, prediction music. Go ahead. Now you don't want it. Okay.
Morg, Gophers, Penn State. That game is at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. in the Dum-de-dum-dum.
Well, the Gophers are about a 9-point favorite.
Is that fair?
Actually, I was thinking of last week. They are a 14-point or 14.5-point favorite right now.
So?
Penn State's coming in here. They don't have the first-string quarterback. They don't have the second-string quarterback.
Both hurt?
That is correct. Joe Paterno's in a bad way there without those two kids. He's got a third-string quarterback. He's supposed to be a phenom, but he's a freshman. I think he's going to start him. Gophers have improved on defense. I still don't... I'm not convinced that they can stop a good passing attack, say, like Michigan, Iowa, whomever. But that's in the future.
So?
I think Minnesota will win the game. I think with them two kids they got, that Baba and that Maroney, they're unstoppable. And then they got this new quarterback, Kupato. Is that how it's pronounced, Don?
Kupato, yes.
Okay, thank you. Cannon wouldn't
have
known that.
I would have known it, Maury.
No, you wouldn't have.
Go ahead.
He controlled a ball, and he looks like he's been playing forever. You know, he comes from Pennsylvania, and they all play football out there when they're starting a when they're about 2 or 3 years old over there, you know. Sandy Stevenson came.
That was Sandy Stevens, Maury.
Sandy Stevens, a great, you remember him, Don.
Wonderful player.
He came from Pennsylvania, okay. I like Minnesota 28-12.
Ooh.
That's what I like.
Okay.
I'm writing that down, Morgan.
All right. And Vikings not playing this week.
And when they start to play again a week from Sunday, they might not have 5 or 6 starters that started in the initial game against, you know, Dallas.
Okay. So, New York Giants at the Pack.
Got a lot of listeners down there in Wisconsin, especially River Falls. A lot of people in River Falls, Don, for some reason or other, they always liked my show.
Go ahead, Morgan.
The Pack needs a victory. That's it. They need a victory. The Giants are playing pretty good football. They got a new coach over there, Coughlin. He's a hard nose. He says, we don't throw the ball unless we have to. We run. We play good defense. We don't even throw to the tight ends. And they got this Shockley there who's tremendous. This kid can catch the ball. He hasn't had a ball pass thrown to him yet. He's got a block now.
Okay.
Pack got a lot of injuries. They don't have their the center of the line there. They're hurting there. Two guys are out, but they got Brett Favre, and they got a kid named Walker to catch the ball. He ain't Moss yet, but he's close. I like the Pack, 24-20.
Very good. How about the Twins now?
It looks to me, Steve-O, they're going to play New York.
So?
They must win one game in New York. Come home. Get the feel of the crowd here, and they got to win two. All they got to do is win three. They can do it if they start knocking in runs, which they don't do too good. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened in New York. 5-4, 5-3, 6-4. Those are the final scores. I like the chances for the Twins, but I ain't crazy about it. And I ain't going to predict. I can't tell you. I just said that's the scenario. Win one in New York, two in Minnesota, you're going against either the Red Sox, the Oaklands, or those folks out there in Disneyland, Anaheim. That's all I got to say.
I can't pay you for that?
No, Don, I'll tell you what. If you send me a picture, autographed picture, I got pictures of a lot of old-timers like yourself. I'm living in Richfield.
Do you ever take it out there more?
Yeah. I like it in Richfield. You know, Mike Lunch is from Richfield, and that's why I moved out there. When I got evicted over at the Fairmont Hotel, I says to Mike, where am I going to go?
And he said?
He said, go out to my old hometown, Richfield. They'll love you out there. They're hardworking people, middle-class people, you know, and I find it fine. But I don't drive, so it ain't so wonderful.
They don't have any pool halls or anything out there, do they?
No, but I get rides from there. The Sneak takes me down there, my buddy. And my brother Maurice at times will...
How is Maurice?
Maurice is not good.
Really?
He's going in for a triple bypass on Wednesday. Well, he lived a hard life, you know. He drank that hard stuff. He ate the wrong food. He didn't exercise. Serves him right. But yeah. I hope to goodness that he's going to come out.
I knew him.
I know you didn't. He sends his regards.
Yeah.
I'm out of here, folks. I got to leave now. I'm back. I got a little game of snooker that I got to do. But first of all, are you going to play Fight On for Old?
Absolutely, Morgan.
Thank you. I'll listen to it out on the monitor out here in the hall. I don't want to sit in here no more.
See you, Mark. My goodness. There he goes.
So long, Don. So long, Cannon.